So you can probably guess by the scripture that was read and the title of the lesson that we're going to talk about David and Goliath this morning. But I don't want to talk about the David and Goliath that we talk about at Vacation Bible School, where this little boy took five little stones and he put it in a sack and he went out and he hit the guy in the head and he died. That's the story. That's how it happened. I understand that. There's a lot more to it, though, than that. And that's what I want to look at this morning here just for a few moments. The story that we have here in 1 Samuel is a story of faith. It's a story of action. It's a story of stepping up and doing something when nobody thought you could do it. It's a story of saying that God is God and He's my Heavenly Father and that I will trust Him to get me through anything. That's what this story is about. And that's what I'm going to look at this morning. You see, if we just take it for what it is, if it was just a young man and he was more than a boy, probably best guess he was a teenager, maybe even 20, somewhere around there. So he wasn't a little boy when this happened. But if we just take that, we'll just say a young man. If we just take the young man David versus the trained warrior killer Goliath, man versus man, that's not a very fair fight, is it? That's going to be that pay-per-view you paid $100 for, and the fight lasts 3 seconds. That's what that's going to be. But that's not what this story is. It's a story of devotion. Let's look at David for a minute. His father was Jesse. He had Jesse had eight sons, and three of those sons served in the Israelite army. David was the youngest, and he was a shepherd. He guarded sheep. Doesn't sound very exciting, does it? He wasn't out there building walls. He wasn't out there slaying dragons. He was guarding sheep. Sounds rather boring. Every day, you've probably heard me say this, but every day when I go to work over at Lehman's, I come across Jericho Road, and or a corner right before I get to the store, there's a farmer, and he's got sheep in the field, and that sheepdog is laying right there all the time. I love to watch him. David, he just guarded some dumb animals. Doesn't sound very fun. He by no means was a soldier. Matter of fact, David was the furthest thing from what a soldier would be. Keep that context in your mind as we look through this, because that's an important part of the beautiful story of how God will always prevail. Now let's look at Goliath. I'm going to start in verse 4, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read this. I'm not reading from the New King James Version, just so you're aware. Verse 4 says, "A champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was more than 9 feet tall." Now, so just for reference, I measured this morning, and from the floor to the top of this register right here is 9 feet. It's actually right at 9 feet. So just for some reference with this, he was at least that tall. I think he's after, 6'4", 6'5", right? So he was at least that tall. And he wasn't that tall and skinny like me. Not a joke, thank you. He was built. So think about that. That's a pretty big dude. I don't, if I was a shepherd, I don't think I'd go up against him. Verse 5 says he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore bronze scale armor weighing 125 pounds. If that's what he was wearing on his head, that's a big dude, right? That's a big boy. He had bronze plates on his shins and a bronze scimitar hung on his back. I don't think I said that right, but I don't know what that is. His spear shaft was as strong as the bar on a weaver's loom, and its iron head weighed 15 18 pounds. His shield bearer walked in front of him. He's carrying some heavy stuff. He's got to be a pretty good sized dude to be walking around with these things. Verse 8 says, he stopped and shouted to the Israelite troops, "Why have you come and taken up battle formations? I am the Philistine champion, and you are Saul's servants." Isn't that right? "Select one of your men and let him come down against me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your slaves. But if I overcome him and kill him, then you will become our slaves and you will serve us." Verse 10, "I insult Israel's troops today," the Philistine continued. "Give me an opportunity and we will fight." When Saul and all Israel heard what the Philistine said, they were distressed and terrified. Now, wait a minute. This is an army. These are the guys that are trained to do this. This Israelite army, these were the guys, right? These were the Navy SEALs. These were the special forces. These were the guys that this is what they did. And it says they were distressed and terrified. How big was this man called Goliath that the Israelite army was scared to death to go do anything? He challenges them every day. Goliath would come out every day and say, "Come on, I'm here. Let's go. What are we waiting on?" Nobody did it, did they? The guy said, I'm not going out there. Look at that guy. We'll get killed. Skip ahead to verse 31. It says, "The things David had said were overheard and reported to Saul, who sent him." What were those things that were said? David was curious about what was going on. He was sent there by his father to take some stuff to his brothers in the army. He heard what was happening. He asked all these questions. What's going on? Who's this? What's all this mean? David was curious. He was probably a little surprised, maybe. Think about it for a second. I would have been. If I was him and I walked up to the Israelite army and nobody's doing anything about this guy, scared to death, I would be a little curious myself. What's happening here? What's this mean? Verse 32 says, "Don't let anyone lose courage because of this Philistine," David told Saul. "I, your servant, will go out and fight him." Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the only person in the presence of this big, huge, giant killer was a shepherd? Was a young man that protected sheep? And by the way, Goliath didn't just fall into this. Goliath was a trained warrior from birth. He'd been doing this for a while. And the Israelite army said, "No, I don't want nothing to do with that guy. Here comes this little boy, this young man." He said, "I'll do it." Verse 33, what was just read a moment ago. What Saul say? He says, "You can't go out and fight the Philistines," Saul answered David. "'Tis you're still a boy." But he's been a warrior since he was a boy. Saul said, "What, are you kidding me? No way you can go do this. You're going to get yourself killed. I can't let you do this. You're not trained for this. You haven't been in the army. You don't know what to do. You can't do this." How many times, just as a side note, how many times does Satan tell us we can't do something? How many times does Satan say to you, you can't go teach the Word of God? You can't go there. You can't do that. You're not good enough. That's the lie Satan tells us. Here's what David says, 34. Says, your servant has kept his father's sheep, David replied to Saul. And if ever a lion or a bear came and carried off one of the flock, I would go after it, strike it, and rescue the animal from its mouth. If it turned on me, I would grab it as its jaw, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has fought both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he has insulted the army of the living God. David says, I got this. David says, let me tell you a little bit about what I've already done. I fought lions. I fought animals that have come to attack my flock. David's saying, I got a job to do here. David's showing his faith. David's showing his faith in a crowd, in a situation where nobody else had that faith. He wasn't afraid, was he? Are we afraid to show our faith? Are we afraid to show our faith if we're in a situation where nobody else around us has that faith? Are we afraid to show that faith? Do we accept? Do we let Satan get to us and cause us to run? Or do we remember that we're not alone? We have the Almighty God with us. Verse 37. Said the Lord, David added, who rescued me from the power of both lions and bears, will rescue me from the power of this Philistine. Go, Saul replied to David, and may the Lord be with you. David said, the same Lord, the same God that rescued me, that helped me to kill these animals, that's the same God that's going to help me defeat this giant. That's called faith in action. He didn't just have the faith. He used the faith. He used this faith in a situation where everybody said, there's no way you can do this. Saul doubted. His brothers doubted. Matter of fact, remember, his brothers were upset he was even there. What are you even doing here, they said. The whole Israelite army doubted. But David didn't doubt. Because he knew he had something bigger than that 9-foot-tall giant standing in front of him. Saul said, okay, if you're going to go, I'm going to give you some things. I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to protect you. Look at verse 38. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own gear, putting a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David strapped his sword over the armor, but he couldn't walk around because he'd never tried it before. I can't walk in these, David told Saul, because I've never tried it before. So he took them off. Then he grabbed his staff and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream bed. He put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. And with sling in hand, went out to face the Philistines. So David said, well, at least let me give you some gear. Go out and let me protect yourself. And he couldn't even wear that stuff. So maybe that gives us a little clue as to how small he really was. He couldn't even move in the stuff that Saul tried to give him. What did he use? He used the physical weapons he was familiar with. The things that he used every day to tend to take care of the flock. That's what he used. He used what he was comfortable with. He says, I'm going to go do this with these five stones, with this staff, and with the God Almighty. Now we get to the fun part. Now we get to the battle. Verse 41. The Philistine got closer and closer to David, and his shield bearer was in front of him. When the Philistine looked David over, he sneered at David because he was just a boy, reddish brown and good looking. He may have red hair, I don't know. The Philistine asked David, am I some sort of dog that you come at me with sticks? And he cursed David by his gods, little g. Come here, he said to David, and I'll feed your flesh to the wild birds and the wild animals. So Goliath finally gets his opponent. And he walks out there and he says, this is the best you have? This mighty army that you have, this army of this God you talk about, and this is what you have? You have this little boy that stands in front of me? I mean, just imagine. I can hear Goliath just laughing and making fun. And I mean, just, you know, what are you kidding me? My shield bearer could take care of this, right? He had no idea what was coming, did he? Verse 45. Now, I know you've heard me say this before, but this is probably one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. It says, but David told the Philistine, you are coming against me with sword, a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, by God of Israel. Israel's army that you have insulted. So David says, you're coming at me with this big spear and all these weapons, but I'm coming at you with the God of the Israelite army, the God of the Creator, the God that will guide me through this, the God that you have no idea how powerful he is. Can you imagine looking up at this big 9-foot-tall guy and saying this? David wasn't scared. Verse 46, today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will feed your dead body to the dead bodies of the entire, and the dead bodies of the entire Philistine camp, to the wild birds and the wild animals. Then the whole world will know that there is a God on Israel's side. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The Lord owns this war, and he will hand all of you over to us. David said to this Goliath, you're about to get something that you have no idea how powerful it is. If it was human versus human, if it was young man versus trained warrior, killer, not even a question. Over in 3 seconds. But it was David with the God Almighty against this trained killer. Goliath had no chance. Faith in action. You probably think that the army laughed at David a little bit when he came to them and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to assume they did. Remember, Saul said, you can't do this. Everybody was against David doing this. But he knew that he loved God and that God loved him and that God would protect him. He didn't even question it. He didn't say, man, I hope God's going to help me. He didn't say, I'm going to take a chance and I hope this turns out well. What did he say? He said, I've got God on my side. And nothing else matters. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Church, we got to say that today. We have got to be able to say, if God is for me, who can be against me? Because you know what? We all are going to face giants. We all have our giants. We talked about in Bible class this morning about Paul's thorn in the flesh. We all have those too. Well, we all have these giants we have to face. Some are really big giants. Some are little giants. Some are medium-sized giants. But we all have giants we have to face. That's not the question. The question is, how do we do it? How are we going to do it? We're going to do it on our own? We're going to say, I got this, I don't need you? Or are we going to do it with the God Almighty? We're going to have that faith that David had. To say, no matter how big this giant is, no matter how good of a trained warrior he is, it doesn't matter. Because nobody or nothing can defeat the God Almighty. We've got to have that faith. How do I get that faith? It's pretty elementary. But I've got to read this word, don't I? I have to know what's in it. I have to ask God to guide me through it. I have to ask for help. I have to be able to say, I can't do this on my own. I have to humble myself and say, God, this giant is way too big for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to begin. All I know is, God, if you're with me, nobody else can be against me. That's what we have to say. John chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Jesus is talking to Thomas. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. How do I get that faith? How do I get that assurance that God is going to protect me? How do I get that? From God, I have to know him. How do I know God? I have to know Jesus Christ. Because he just said, no one gets through the Father except through me. Which means I have to say, I need Jesus in my life. I have to be willing to stand up, just like David did, even when nobody else around me will stand up. I have to be willing to stand up and say, Jesus is the Lord and Savior. He's my Christ. I need him in my life. And when we do that, we become a child of his. Then, and only then, do we have that protection that God gave David. Matthew 17 and verse 20 says, Jesus replied, it is because you don't have enough faith. But I can promise you this, if you had faith no longer than a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to move here and to there. And it would. Everything would be possible for you. The stone killed Goliath? Technically. But what was behind that stone? The power of the Almighty. I want that power of the Almighty. But I'm not going to have it if I'm not a child of his. So if you're here this morning and you've not entered into those waters of baptism and you've not said, I need Jesus in my life. If you're tired of doing things on your own, if you're tired of struggling and trying to figure out how to get things done or how to defeat these giants. If you don't have Jesus in your life, good luck. We have to be willing to say that I'm a sinner. but I need Jesus in my life. You can make that decision right now. You have an opportunity now to say, you know what, I'm tired of living this old sinful life. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, you're a new spiritual person. And that old person is gone. And the Lord's invitation is not just now. It's not just at 11:30 on Sunday morning, by the way. The Lord's invitation is always open. But if you're here this morning and, you've done that and you're a child of His, but you've allowed Satan to push you away. You've allowed him to drive that wedge between you and the Father, and you need to make things right with him. You have that opportunity this morning to do that. You see, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know that he's coming back, but we don't know when he's coming back. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. How do I face my giants? How do I defeat my giants? Not by me. If God is for me, who can be against me? If the church can help you in any way, come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.
Almost persuaded.